We got that holiday weekend mentality going on. And I'll tell you, the drivers are out there.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, just in one quarter of a block, I almost got sideswiped and T-boned.
I almost called the cops yesterday while I was driving home. Some lady was driving, and she was beating the bejesus out of the guy in the driver's seat.
Oh, my God.
He's like this, and I could see her, and they were the car in front of me. But it didn't have a license plate, and they turned, so I'm like, well, it's no big deal anymore. But he pulled over because she was going off.
Wow.
If they had kept going straight and I would have been behind him because it was a newer car, like I said, no license plate, I probably would have called the police because that was freaking dangerous.
Yeah, let alone
the level of assault the guy was enduring.
It's like, oh, my God. No kidding.
That's when you pull out your cell phone and start recording.
Yeah.
I wish thought about it after they had turned.
Shame them via YouTube.
Uh-huh.
So... All right. We ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
Never, but let's go anyway.
Give a countdown.
Cue music.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Wayne Youngblood with Regency Superior Auctions, and you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
Look at them, madam. Have you ever in your entire life seen anything so beautiful?
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about stamps.
Oh.
This is the gentle art of philately, otherwise known as stamp collecting. Here's a pile of stamps carefully culled from swap meets and garage sales.
Rupert, what are you thinking of?
Oh, I was just thinking of all the years I wasted collecting stamps.
Oh, like stamp collecting. Now, that's all right. That's quite a nice hobby, that.
Yes, but it's not enough. Don't you understand? I'm lonely. I'm so terribly lonely.
All right, Homer! You beat those stamp Nazis with good old-fashioned American complaining.
Homer, if it weren't for you, we'd be at the mercy of weekend philatelists.
You know, why didn't you just say stamp collectors?
Because I'm tired of dumbing myself down for you.
I mean, I have to say, when I heard that, like, people actually watch this show, I was actually pretty surprised.
I'm Ernest Borgnine. I collect stamps.
From Spain and two from Japan. I got a couple from Israel and Azerbaijan. I got a plenty from Poland, but none from Sudan or from Fiji or Uzbekistan.
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 90.
I'm Cash.
This is Tom.
I'm Scott.
And I'm your host, Dawn. On September 2nd, 1870, 146 years ago today, in the Franco-Prussian War at the Battle of Sedan, Prussian forces take Napoleon III of France and 100,000 of his soldiers prisoner, beginning the Third Republic, effectively ending the war 5 months later without its king. So, this week we'll be reading more emails, discussing some shenanigans at the post office, casualty corrections, and our expert topic is on the difference between scarce and rare. We get emails, so I better summon the answer squad.
Ain't no sound for that.
There ain't no sound for that. Yeah,
I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is a sound for that.
There is, yeah, the mod squad. It's hilarious.
Helps if you give it to the engineer.
It does.
Oh, holy hell.
What was that?
Is there a dinosaur in the back?
That's outside.
What was that?
Continuing on.
Okay. I received a request from an anonymous listener saying we don't have enough jokes, so, Cash.
What's the difference between bird flu and swine flu? One requires tweetment, the other one requires ointment.
So next time when Stan sends you an absolutely anonymous email, you just ignore it.
Oh, no, that wasn't Stan.
That wasn't Stan.
It was the person at Stan's table, but it wasn't Stan, yeah.
Yeah, who was it? Come on, who was it?
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Yeah, Tom didn't think it was a real person. He goes, you just want to put in more jokes.
No, it actually, that happened at the stamp show on Sunday. True story. And
So one joke is all we get?
We'll get more.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Okay, and now for the email. Okay, we received an email, and it reads, I was just looking through an old stamp album that contains a fair number of pre-1920s Portuguese colony stamps and a fair number of Mozambique Company stamps that, while all seem to be individually postmarked, appear to have full original gum. Although all are hinged, these are stamps that are overprinted diagonally, Republica. I can post images if anyone requires, although the question is straightforward. Are CTOs of these stamps common? Thanks in advance. My first question is, what are CTOs?
CTO stands for canceled to order. And it basically is a practice where a country will take stamps in sheets and generally on the printing press print the cancellations on the stamps to invalidate them for postal use. And so they're basically mint stamps with cancels already printed on them. And then they sell them into the stamp collecting market at a discount from face, since they're obviously not valid for full face value of postal duty. And that allows their stamps to get out into the marketplace as collectibles.
Very common, done in quite a few places. The number one and number two are probably Russia and Hungary, where if you have actual postal used stamps, they're worth many multiples of catalog.
Many countries did it, and obviously Eastern Europe and Africa are two of the large culprits. If you collect used East Germany, that's another one that there were very postally used stamps are much more difficult to collect.
The poorer the country and the more communist it is, generally the more chance you have of CTOs, although I was just looking through a large order of North Borneo stamps where they are all CTO'd also. So
I think
that's kind of normal.
Yeah. But those are different than canceled to order. Those are remainder cancels. And that's stock that was left over that once the issue is removed from validity, the stamps were canceled and then sold. And those are different than canceled to order generally. Those are remainder cancels.
Wouldn't you call a remainder cancel a CTO?
Not necessarily, because a lot of times the CTOs are out in the market the same as when the valid stamps are out there.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good point. Yeah.
Where a remainder would be old stock that they just want to invalidate.
Which is probably what these Republica, the Mozambique company, probably.
No, those are CTOs.
They are? Okay.
Yeah, those are printed cancels.
Yeah, there's quite a few that I have seen from Philippines is another one. And you will get full sheets of stamps, all of which have the cancellation just printed in the corner. And also you see a lot from PRC, People's Republic of China.
Yes. Now, one characteristic of canceled order stamps is the cancels are generally very neat, and they generally, a lot of times, will only tie maybe a corner of the stamp, and that allows maximum visibility of the design on the stamp. And they're just...
Because they're selling to collectors.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they're generally collected, never hinged.
That is very true. That's something that people should be aware of. If you see CTO'd stamps, there is a huge premium now for never hinged, particularly in the People's Republic of China.
And also Russia.
Yeah, if you have a hinged CTO, it's used, but it will get downgraded because it has a hinge. And then a lot of people say, well, I'll just soak the gum off because it's a used stamp.
And that makes it worth even less.
Yeah, because now you have a mint no gum CTO. And the market, again, is speaking, and they want them nice and clean. They want the CTO with full never hinged gum. And you also see that in Switzerland, the officials.
Right. A lot of times a note in the catalog will tell you that prices are specifically for canceled-to-order stamps, and those that are postally used are worth more.
A lot more, yeah.
And in many cases, a lot more.
Yeah.
And now, time for hashtag stamp stories. Oh, I like that.
And now you're going to have to edit it anyway.
You're still going to have to edit it.
Oh, I'll leave that.
Play it again.
33 people were charged by federal authorities with crimes against the U.S. Postal Service and its customers, with half of the cases alleging mail theft or the possession of stolen mail, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. The charges are part of investigations by the USPS's Office of Inspector General targeting criminal activity, with most of the defendants being USPS employees who allegedly stole mail, embezzled from the agency, or, in one case, failed to deliver nearly 500,000 pieces of mail.
50,000.
50,000.
I added a zero.
Newman. No, you took out a zero.
Yeah.
It's even worse than you said.
Yeah.
Well, I have to... That's the one I think actually wasn't that it wasn't delivered. The person was actually supposedly hoarding them in their house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I mean, if you're going to do that, why don't you just destroy it? Why do you hoard it?
I wonder if...
Why does anybody hoard anything?
I wonder if she... or.
I think that was a woman.
I think it was a woman, yeah.
I think it was.
Did she say 50,000 pieces of mail, including junk mail, or was this only like letters? Because you can say 50,000 pieces of junk mail like in one day.
Oh, yeah, that would just be like one delivery truck.
Yeah.
All of these are from California. A few of the culprits are a Wilmington mail carrier was charged with...
But the thing... But the thing...
You left out the word woman and it threw you off.
Yay!
we're trying to keep this gender neutral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, keep it gender neutral and
no, I don't...
Not to specify the person.
Oh, I think you, wow. I think you could go gender, male, female. There's both in here. I wouldn't state people's names.
Yeah.
I edited out all the names.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I left one in.
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
That was my notes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I kind of followed suit.
Well, let's just read through them then.
Okay.
We can beat Cash up later.
A Wilmington mail carrier was charged with possessing stolen mail related to checks allegedly stolen from the mail and deposited into a credit union account. An Atascadero postal employee was charged with mail theft for allegedly stealing mail items containing medications, including medications sent from the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to veterans.
Now, first, I have a question. First, where is Atascadero?
I'm not.
Well, isn't there like a state prison up there?
Yeah. All of these, I thought, were actually Southern California.
Yeah, but do you know where Atascadero is?
Not without.
There's a women's prison there, I think.
Not without consulting the Googles, I don't.
But. Well, she's a real poopy head, whoever she is.
Oh, cause your language. Because none of the other ones aren't?
Can I say poopy head? Is that allowed?
Yep.
You're a grown-ass man. Why are you talking like that?
Because we're on a podcast. I don't want to get explicit.
I don't know. Why don't you consult iTunes?
Atascadero is somewhere in California, I guess.
San Luis Obispo County.
Oh, okay. That's north. Okay. North of us.
A USPS mail processing clerk from Lake Elsinore was charged with mail theft by a postal...
Redundant?
It is redundant. I missed that one. A USPS mail processing clerk from Lake Elsinore was charged with mail theft for allegedly stealing video games that were mailed to or from Gamefly, which is a game rental
That's company. The entrepreneurial spirit.
What, start your own rental company by stealing them all?
Yeah, well, you can go to, Blockbuster went out of business. So they can start the next Blockbuster.
From prison.
Rent is probably really cheap in the cell blocks.
Play crickets, please.
As you requested.
A postal clerk in Los Angeles was charged with mail theft for stealing mobile phones, which, according to this plea agreement, were valued at about $15,000.
That's a lot of mobile phones.
That's probably 15 of them.
Yeah, about 15 of them. A former mail carrier in Hawthorne was charged with dumping and delaying mail.
Newman.
Another former mail carrier from Lakewood was charged with bank fraud for allegedly misusing a USPS-issued gas card.
Now, hang on. I have to go back to the last one. Dumping and delaying mail. Is that just like... You had too much on your route and you didn't want to deliver it all. You wanted to take a long lunch or something, so you just threw the crap in a garbage can and said, oh, I delivered it.
Well, it wasn't probably it, on Seinfeld. Didn't they dump it in a gutter into the sewers?
F Seinfeld. I hate that show. So I couldn't tell you. You don't have to edit that out either.
No, I'm with you on that.
Are you allowed to say F on the podcast? Frick.
It's a letter in the alphabet.
Oh, flatulence.
Why problem make when you no problem have you don't want to make?
Thank you. Former sales associate from Victorville was charged with making false entries in an official record of stamp sales in an alleged scheme to embezzle funds from the USPS. I'm sorry, I had that all.
Why you not read it just like I have?
Because it makes no sense.
All I did was remove the name and put a man. This is directly from the news the news release. Instead of saying Joe Blow from Mission Mission Hills, I put a man from Mission Hills.
Well, then the story has bad grammar, too.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Okay.
We got a couple grammar Nazis here. Sorry.
And we know no one reads the paper anymore, so they don't care. They just post it online. And everyone assumes it's good because they only know how to speak text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Smiley face.
Especially with autocorrect. There was a great grade A under A, if people don't listen to it.
Next.
It's definitely a holiday weekend, right? A former contract driver from Mission Hills was charged with conspiracy to steal government property by allegedly siphoning about 285 gallons of diesel fuel paid for by the USPS from contractor trucks.
Oh, I also heard he was the person who robbed Ryan Lockett in Rio out in front of the gas station.
That'd be Lochte.
Lochte.
Not Lockett.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to start wearing them on a chain around my neck, too.
A 43-year-old from Compton was charged with making a false statement relating to his criminal history in his employment application to work for the USPS.
Doesn't everybody do that?
Yeah, okay. He was arrested
but
for that?
Yeah, he got caught.
Oops.
Yeah, he probably put down, you know, under sex M or F, he put...
Yes.
F, but when I'm alone, M.
Cash, that's TMI.
Oh, there's also one guy missing from the list that I just thought was interesting. A person was stealing PayPal credit cards. So one of the people who didn't make our list is a PayPal thief.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't sign up for that stupid credit card.
Yeah, and it is a stupid credit card, too.
The defendants will be arraigned in the U.S. District Courts in Los Angeles, Santa Ana, and Riverside. I sure hope they get what they deserve.
No, I hope they get thrown in prison. Except for the guy who lied on his resume. That's
just going home for him.
Well, there has to be something else that's like, you did something wrong. We can't charge you for it because it may not be illegal. You know, it's like smoking marijuana on the job or something. And said, well, we'll fire you because you lied on your resume. Come on, give me a break.
Well, obviously, well, okay. It must have been a serious charge. I mean, you know, in a lot of applications, you have to put in, you know, if you have a criminal record and if you...
Yeah, he was probably a felon. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he really wanted to get a job and...
Get a pension,
you know,
and
be an upstanding citizen.
He should have just said, yes, there's already plenty of felons in this system from mm-hmm. what the story reads.
33 less as of today.
But that's scary that it's 33 just in Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
How widespread is this corruption?
Oh, guaranteed it's every single state.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My aunt won't send money through the mail to my cousin in Ohio anymore, like birthday cards. She'll put it in an unmarked, like random, just manila envelope because he's received about 10% of the cards that she has sent. Whether there's money in them or not, apparently there's somebody in that area, and this is, you know, East Coast, that's seeing colored envelopes for, you know, birthday cards or special occasions, Christmas, stuff like that, and pulling them out and stealing them, hoping that there's going to be cash or checks in them.
Yep.
Because a lot of people mail cash in those.
Well, I lose, it used to be worse, I'm better, but I lose about 1% of my eBay sales. and there's no way of really knowing whether they were stolen by the post office or by the person who said, yes, I got it. This is really nice. Oh, by the way, I didn't get it. Give me my money back.
Yeah, but I don't think my cousin's lying to his mother about
That's
not receiving his cards.
Well, what was it? There was a book person who was trying to get a book delivered, and after about three or four of them, he finally just gave up because they kept getting stolen. What was that story?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. There was a
that film. Sounds like us getting our label back for the box of books that we sent out, and that's all we got was the label.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, at least they told us that the box was destroyed.
No, and they didn't. Like they don't. That. They never know where the box is.
Oh no, I got a body bag.
He got a body bag.
It was interesting too because it was a junk mail postcard, and they thought it important enough to put in a body bag. So,
you got a body bag?
Yeah, when. Yeah, you know, when a piece of mail is damaged going through a machine or something, they'll put it in a plastic bag, and it says on the outside, we regret, you know, the damage to this piece.
We regret to inform you.
Yeah, we regret to.
And on that note.
And on that note. And now for Cash's corrections. Cash?
Well, first of all, I wanted to address that we had the discussion on the first lady of the United States. And this, I thought this was very interesting because Martha Washington was indeed the first lady of the United States. But she was that retroactively because the term wasn't used until 1838. And that's 30 years after she died. Actually, 35 years after she died, I think. The first person that was called the first lady to her face, because Zachary Taylor had called Dolly Madison in a speech the first lady, but the first lady that was called first lady to her face was Harriet Lane, which was President Buchanan's niece, and he was unmarried, so she served as the first lady. People say that she is the first lady. No, she is not. She is the first lady who was alive and called the first lady. So fun stuff like that. And also anybody who still thinks George Washington is the first president, you can listen to one of our prior podcasts. The other thing is that I just saw an article in Lens Magazine about that they try to avoid using the word investment when talking about stamp collecting. And I thought this was interesting only because a lot of people collect stamps for the investment side. A lot of people, you know, will collect model boats or trains or something, but they don't expect to make any money out of it. Stamp collecting, you expect to make money out of it. The avoiding the term investment, I thought was rather interesting that Lens came out specifically and said, we try to avoid this word. I think that you're making a mistake, Lens. I think that the coin industry makes a lot of money and increase their market and does very, very well, acknowledging that their coins are investment vehicles. And let's see, that's it.
I don't think that necessarily all stamp collectors are doing it for investment, though.
Oh, I don't think they all are. But there is an investment side to it.
There is definitely a portion of collectors who do it for that reason.
If you don't look at it from the investment side, then nobody's going to spend $5,000 for a stamp or $7 million for a stamp.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, nobody collects, you know, model boats for investment purposes, but a model boat doesn't get more than a couple hundred dollars.
Well, but like I
said, every stamp collection is more than a couple hundred dollars.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong in not using the word investments. There's certainly people out there that are doing that. I'm just saying, though, that kind of the way it sounded to me was not everybody is investing in their stamps. You know, some people are just collecting them for fun, you know, soaking them off their current mail. So, but yeah, I agree that Lens shouldn't necessarily stay away from the word, but at the same time, like I said, I don't think there's people that are doing it only for investment.
I mean, they're putting their head in the sand by not acknowledging that there is a portion of the hobby that does include investment.
Well, and then in addition to this, though, later on in the lens, you have stamp market tips of the week.
Right.
Which are absolutely, you know, telling you this stamp is undervalued in the market, go look for it, which is specifically talking about investing or at least treasure finding. So,
which is a form of investing. Absolutely.
Of course. And other than that, I overcame my agoraphobia.
How did you do that?
I used to be terrified of wheat and rice. And now, no, not so much.
I can't believe I was a part of this.
Did you say agoraphobia or agoraphobia?
Agoraphobia, the fear of agricultural goods.
Okay. It was difficult to tell.
Moving right along. And now our expert topic. What is rare and what is scarce? Friend of the show, John Hopchner, says, I've always used scarce and rare more or less interchangeably. This turns out to be a mistake. A friend has just pointed out to me that the unabridged Webster's Dictionary defines the two as follows. Scarce is deficient in quality.
That would be quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It just, my...
That N just reared up and looked like an L.
Yeah, pretty much. I really need to get my eyes checked again. Scarce is deficient in quantity or number compared with the demand. Rare is seldom occurring or found. Take, for instance, the Scott U.S. C3A, the inverted 24-cent Jenny. A paint of 100 was sold shortly after issue in 1918 at a Washington, D.C. post office. All but a few are currently accounted for. And a year does not go by that several copies are not offered at auction. Some would call it a rarity. Using the above definitions, this is not correct. They are available if you have enough money. The demand is far greater than the supply, as the prices paid testify, but it is by no means a rarity.
I would disagree with that. They are seldom occurring.
Another example is the 1938 partially perforated between presidential era pairs known as war perfs. They exist with seven missing pin patterns and were created due to shortages of metal needed to repair broken perforating pinwheels. I know of no other instance where there are more than half a dozen of any one value with any one missing pin pattern, and in many cases, there are only one or two examples known. So I like what John said. Scott, what do you think?
Well, I think that the Prexy-era war pairs, I think they're both rare and scarce. I mean, there are a few collectors that are looking for them, and so there aren't enough to go around. But at the same time, they're also seldom occurring out there in the marketplace. Same, the C3A is definitely rare. It doesn't occur in my stamp collection, at least not a genuine one. So it is seldom occurring, but it is also scarce because there are more demand than there are supply for this particular item, which is what drives the price way up.
Well, a 5-cent war perf catalog's like $45.
But in my opinion, a C3A is both scarce and rare.
But it's not because of the price. The price.
How many C3s were printed?
Millions.
There's only 100 of them that are upside down.
Right.
So it is rare.
That's rare. It's seldom occurring.
There's only one sun.
See, scarce.
And it occurs every day.
Scarce and rare, in my opinion, overlap.
Well, no, they don't, because you collect magic cards. How are magic cards classified?
Well, they're classified as common, uncommon, or rare.
Right. So what the criticism is that you have common stamps, then you have scarce stamps, and then from scarce it flows into rare, like they're on a continuous line. Scarce is on a separate line from rare.
So I think you used magic cards as an example. I think common, uncommon, and scarce would be a better definition, would be appropriate in that case.
And the sun is a very poor definition because the sun is a star, and if you look every night, there are millions of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rare or scarce. It just happens to be that the one close to us is our closest one.
Well, an example would be if you are in the desert. Water is very common. 2/3 of the earth is covered by it. but you're in a desert. So.
What the heck was that?
Wow.
That was Lloyd.
Jeez, Lloyd.
Congratulations on making the podcast.
So water is not rare. It's very common, but it's very rare in the desert. Scarce has to do with demand. So as soon as you talk about demand, you're talking about supply and demand. You're talking about a price point.
But then water would be scarce in the desert too, because let me tell you, if you're in the desert, you want water. It's in demand.
Well, how much is it though?
Depends on whether or not you can find it.
If you use the word scarce, then you're using demand. And as soon as you use demand, you're entering into economics and you talk about price points. Scarce has to do with price. Rare has to do with quantity.
Not by definition, it doesn't.
Yes, by definition, it does. That's the whole point.
Which is my point with magic cards, because magic cards that are termed rare are actually scarce. They're not rare. There's hundreds of thousands or millions of them out there.
That's correct.
They are not rare.
Well, no, they're rare.
They are scarce.
They're rare in the pack because you only get one out of 15. You get 13 commons, you get two uncommons, and you get one rare.
Boy, it's been a long time since you opened a pack.
Oh, what, did they change them? You're but right. I haven't played since Revised. So.
Anyway, let's get back to stamps.
Yeah.
So, my, aren't we touchy today?
So I think that the whole idea is that you don't go from scarce to rare. Scarce and rare are on totally different.
But you just said one flows into the other.
No, I said specifically one does not flow into the other.
I missed the not.
Yeah, so a deficiency in quantity or number compared with demand. So if you have something that's $10, that's worth $10, you should be able to find a lot of them. That's the whole thing that he was bringing up with the war perfs.
See, but the
you
point
can buy
is,
a war perf for like $10, $20.
But the point
but
is,
you can't find
scarce
it.
Is like having oranges, and rare is like having apples.
yeah. Right? No, you are correct.
You can have them in the same bowl.
Yes.
Or they can be on opposite sides of the room.
Scarcity is going to determine value. Rarity is going to determine
value.
Not necessarily, because I have.
Well, there are a lot of stamps that are rare.
I have a unique. Like I said last time, a unique steamboat cancel, a red steamboat cancel, and a U.S. number 26. It's probably the only one known, although one was referenced, but they could have been referencing this one. So it's either unique or it's one of two, and nobody knows where the second one is.
1 cent magenta, scarce or rare?
Both, because it came to...
But that's what I said.
But one
they
doesn't
overlap.
Flow into the other, you said.
No.
They overlap. That's
okay.
What I said.
Okay. 1 cent magenta. Reddish or made of paper? And you would say...
Not my question.
Yes. It's scarce because it has a very high value that doesn't come to market and is rare because there's only one of them. One of them has to do with how often it comes to sale. The other one has to do with how many of them there are. And they could be dramatically different.
They can overlap, and then again, they can't.
It's just two different ways of describing a stamp.
Yeah, it's generally how printing occurs.
Yes.
Ink overlaps onto paper.
Why problem make when you no problem have you don't want to make?
Okay, Don, what's the difference between, since we're talking about rare and scarce, what's the difference between a nerd and a geek?
Nerds are more academically inclined, while geeks are just super passionate about their hobbies.
And the people who don't know or care about the difference, what are they called?
Those are dorks.
And what happens if you're both?
Or all three.
Or all three.
And there he is.
Now, here's one that they said. Bill made him scarce around the office. Not that he made himself rare around the office.
Bill made who scarce?
Oh, it has a quote here.
Well, you said Bill made him scarce. I'm asking who?
I think Bill made himself scarce around the office. Bill made himself scarce around the office, but that did not make himself rare.
So he made himself scarce around the office, so that means it's an economic thing? By your definition? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought that up, should I?
Chicken!
Oh, well. So anyway, I'm going to start using scarce and rare differently, because I used to be the one of the ones who, you know, said, well, this is scarce, and then, oh, it's scarcer than we thought, it must be rare. And instead, I'm going to refer to it as cost-wise. If it's got a high cost, then you're going to take into account scarcity. And rarity is only going to occur in my conversations with people like Stanley from now on if there is really a low number of them.
Okay, you're all looking at me. I guess I need to wrap this up, huh?
How many minutes are we?
46.
Okay.
Wise people are rare. Wisdom is scarce.
Oh, that sounds very good. Very profound. A very wise person you are.
Wisdom is rare. Wise people are scarce.
Which one's
right?
Do a search for Yoda. I'll put in a Yoda quote here.
Geek.
Thank you for joining us for episode 90. This has been Cash, Scott, Tom, and I'm your host, Dawn. You can reach us with your questions or comments at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, or leave a message on our Google Voice number. How many times have I read this outro and I just got blah?
92. Yeah, this is our episode. 60. This is our episode 90. When is this going to stop? How long are we going to keep
tomorrow
doing this?
If you want it to.
Somebody's got to like end this.
Well, hurry up and do the outro. It's getting warm in here.
Oh, I know, huh?
It's getting late in here.
It's getting late. I have to go back to the office. Thank you for joining us for episode 90. This has been Cash, Scott, Tom, and I'm your host, Dawn. You can reach us with your questions or comments at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, or leave a message on our Google Voice number 1-949-873-4298. You can also check out our website at stampshowheretoday.com or follow us on Facebook or watch us on YouTube. And as always, keep collecting.